What's up? Welcome into the Patriots Podcast. It's a free agency podcast for 2017. Sean here with JJ.
Hello.
All right. So the last time we talked to you guys was on the opening night of free agency. So it's been a couple weeks. A lot of shit has happened.
Mm-hmm.
We spent basically every podcast from after the Super Bowl up until right now talking about, please, Hightower, come back. Please.
And he did.
He was a top three free agent on basically everybody's list. And we got him back at more of a discount than anybody would have expected.
Yeah.
Pretty much going in.
Absolutely. Yeah, his market really didn't seem to be where he wanted to be or where anyone expected. I mean, as we talked about, we were over and over again, $12 million. We're like, $12 million, he can do it. It's no problem. He's going to get that anywhere. I think the best offer he got was from the Jets, and it was like 10.5.
It was a little bit more than that, I think.
Maybe 11. It definitely didn't eclipse much over 11.
The big thing they did was they offered 5 years.
Right.
Where the Pats offered 4. And who knows when anybody else was willing to
offer. Yeah, and he basically got about a little over 10 from us, right?
Well, with all the incentives, it's a 4-year, $43.5 million deal. So a shade under 11 a year if he hits all the incentives. And that's like Pro Bowls, that's a certain amount of wins during a season. But at a
certain amount of games played.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of per game roster bonuses built in there. So if he doesn't hit any of the incentives, it's a 4-year, $35.5 million contract.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, if that's less than 9 a year.
Yeah.
If he's not making Pro Bowls and all pro teams and stuff. So it seems like a pretty damn good discount. And from a guaranteed money standpoint, it's basically a 2-year deal. In 2019, he'll be 29 years old, and there's only a dead cap of $5 million if they don't want to go through with the back half of the contract.
Right. And well, there's an option there that if he's on the roster by the fourth day of the league year, something I just read this, fifth. That it's fully guaranteed. Fifth. It becomes fully guaranteed, but that's obviously means they want him on the team.
Well, so. Only $2 million of the salary would become fully guaranteed at that point.
Oh.
So, there's all these little intricacies to the contract. The bottom line is we got back our defensive captain for what appears to be very reasonable money.
Yeah, a bargain deal.
Bargain deal, and even long term, it's not like they're handcuffed by this deal at all. Like I said,
no.
2 years from now, you could get out with only $5 million on the cap after
on the
that,
yeah.
Which is the exact same amount that we had from Darrell Revis the year after he left.
Yeah.
We've done it before. That's not an outrageous amount of money. And given,
especially by then too, I mean, the cap's going to rise.
It's going to continue to rise probably unless people stop watching the NFL. And given the fact that Hightower is a very physical player, he's got a bit of an injury history. He'll be 29 at that point. It's nice that there's at least that open door.
Yeah.
But up until then, listen to these cap hits. Year one, $4.9 million.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's nothing.
Year two, it goes up to 9.1. But and then after that, it goes over 10. But this year, I mean, if you look on our salary cap, there's like 8 guys who are making more money than him, including Danny Amendola.
Yeah, they're going to fix that one real quick.
Unbelievably reasonable deal.
Well, it's the same thing. We talked about it with Stephon Gilmore's deal. His cap hits like, what, $6 million this year or something?
No, it's 8.5.
8.5, okay, still. But, I mean, there's all these, you know, this is the most cap room we've had in a long time, and they really haven't. I mean, I feel like we still got a lot of money left.
The problem is we do. We have $26 million in cap room still this year, which is 11th in the league right now.
Yeah.
Still a lot of cap room. The problem is so many of these long-term contracts, the cap hits continue to go up. Like this year, I think Brady's cap hit is $14 million, but next year it's like 22.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a prime situation where he's done this multiple times in the past. He'll restructure and just move that cap hit later. And with the way that the cap rules are now, where you can roll over whatever you save on this year's cap.
So that's probably what they're planning on doing, maybe?
Well,
a little bit?
What it does is there's no incentive to have a front-loaded cap.
Yeah.
Because you can just save the money and roll it over to the next year and count on maybe you don't want that player around anymore, or maybe the cap continues to rise, whatever happens. Maybe you end up trading them.
Right.
So there's no incentive to have a cap hit up front. So they just keep pushing it. They just push it forever.
That's all they do.
Yeah.
Kind of screws the players, but I guess they still get paid. So
No. Cap hits are different from cash flow.
Right, right, because the guaranteed money you can sprinkle around and shit like that.
Basically, if you get a signing bonus, like take Hightower, for example. He got a $10 million signing bonus, which means...
That's what I mean, you can sprinkle around.
Yeah, so when he signs that contract, they hand him a check for $10 million. Right then,
yeah.
He cashes that shit. But that is prorated over the contract, so it only counts as $2.5 million against the cap for each of the 4 years.
Right.
So you can move the cap hit around while the player still gets the cash in hand.
So I got a question about you, but for you. It was interesting when we were talking about it that Hightower was such a highly touted player and didn't sign a contract. And no, we really didn't say, well, maybe his market's not there as much as we wanted. I mean, I guess we touched on it a little bit, but a little surprising that there wasn't a team that was willing to throw 12 or 13 at him.
There's a lot of factors. And one of them is for sure, it seemed like nobody believed he wanted to leave the Patriots.
Yeah.
Nobody. I mean, all the reports came out, this team believes he'll be back, this team believes he'll be back with the Patriots. So, I mean,
but
do you
still,
really
I'm
want
sure
to hand
he...
out all that guaranteed money to a guy that doesn't want to be there?
I guess so. That's a good point. But, I mean, his agent's got to be doing some work. Like, well, if you give him 13, I'm sure he'd definitely love to leave.
Yeah.
You know, it's just... There wasn't that team that came out of nowhere and was like, you know, like last year. I feel like it happened two or three times where, you know, it'd be a player, he's a good player, and he got paid like a top five guy.
Yeah, like the Giants did with seven different guys last year.
Exactly. And I mean, here is Hightower, who is a top five guy, or, you know, could be in the, you know, he's in that realm of possibility, and he wasn't getting that kind of money.
That's the other side of it, is the NFL is an evolving league, and positions lose and gain value all the time. We're seeing it.
It's crazy.
Adrian Peterson can't seem to get a lick in the open market, and he's a Hall of Fame running back. Yet Rex Burkhead, who is, I mean, he's played less than 200 offensive snaps in his career.
Played one game.
Yeah, and he's
and it was an end of the season game.
He signed to a pretty reasonable contract for a guy. We just picked him up for $3.1 million on a 1 year deal. So it's like that receiving running back goes up in value. The bruising running back goes down in value. LeGarrette Blount still on the market. So the same thing is true for linebackers. Pass rushing linebackers, obviously high value. Coverage linebackers are increasing in value. Bruising linebackers like Hightower are decreasing.
Yeah, but he can be an outside backer that rushes. Like he can be that guy. That's what I don't get. Like you can put him anywhere on the field. You can put him in any of those spots. You can make him the D-end if you want.
He's not dominant at those spots.
Maybe D-end.
His value is in all... Well, he's a phenomenal tackler, and he brings a great amount of versatility. He can cover a little bit. He's great against the run. He can rush the passer, and he, by all accounts, is a great teammate and leader.
Yeah.
So he's got a versatile skill set, but his best attribute is being a physical presence, and that is losing its value.
Hmm. I feel like he could be pretty dominant on outside backer.
If he could be, then he would have higher sack numbers.
Well,
he would have had more success doing that.
We had like five DNs on the roster last year.
I know. Obviously, any you might
they didn't need him to do
say,
it.
Not every team runs the same way the Patriots do, in the way that
I heard that a little bit too. Yeah, he didn't fit into certain schemes and shit like that.
Exactly.
I don't know how much I buy that crap.
Watch
football player is a good football player.
I know. I believe that too. But nobody values versatility. You'll hear this on every fucking show. Nobody values versatility as much as Bill Belichick
does. Like the Patriots. Yeah.
So right. That's why Shane McClellan's on this team. You know, that's why Patrick Chung is so successful.
But I mean, it almost looked like those visits he were taking to the Jets, to the Steelers, like that. It was pretty obvious. There, you know, news reports you were reading about it seemed obvious. Like he was doing that to bring up his stock because there clearly wasn't that much of a market.
Yeah, I wonder if you're those other teams and he comes in. Do you want to put a big number on the table so that he goes back to the Patriots and they have to up their offer?
Why wouldn't you?
Well, because you could offer him 13 a year, and then you find out the next day he signed for 9 a year with the Patriots, and you go, ah, fuck, we look like idiots.
I guess so, but like, he would have definitely taken, I mean, why wouldn't you try and do that to get the Patriots to blow more cap room?
Because what if you have to take the player? What if he takes the deal?
I mean, it's not like you're getting like a bat. You're getting one of the best linebackers in the league.
Yeah, but a guy that might not want to be there.
Yeah, I don't know. A guy
that is now there for a check instead.
It's still 13. I mean, come on. You're going to tell me that Hightower's going to be like dragging his feet because he got $13 million because he doesn't want to be in Oakland? Come on.
I don't know.
You know?
I don't know.
I don't believe that either. I don't know what it is. Maybe it was his health that they were worried about.
They said, the Jets said he failed the physical.
Really?
Yeah. Or he, I don't know if he failed the physical, you know,
but it made him worried.
Had troubles with the physical. I mean, he's had shoulder injuries almost every year.
Yeah.
He's got a history of some knee ailments. I think he tore an ACL in college. He is not the picture of health.
No. Yeah, we know that. Well, and we got him back.
And
that's what it comes down to.
For his sake, I think he's probably the best player he can be with the Patriots.
And probably.
Maybe that factors in too.
Well, I mean, you know Belichick is going to use him better than anybody else's.
We already know how he likes to use him, and it's very effective.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So with that, our defense is pretty much, I mean, riding on one other decision about Malcolm Butler, which we'll get to in a little bit.
Yeah.
The defense is going to be stacked. Two other deals that we got defensively.
Mm-hmm.
We traded for Coney Ealy, a defensive end out of, Carolina.
Yeah, he played at Carolina.
For what we basically swapped like 8 spots on the draft for it.
Yeah, we got rid of our second round pick for their third round pick, which works out to 8 spots in the draft, 64 to 72.
Which, I mean, and you get a decent guy. I mean, played like a beast in the Super Bowl. And then outside of that, he's been okay.
That's the thing with it. I mean, he's physically gifted. He was a good prospect coming out of college. And, you know, he had that real big game in the Super Bowl against the Broncos. And that's why everybody knows him.
Yeah.
I mean, you wouldn't know his name if he didn't do that in the Super Bowl.
Probably not.
And so that kind of raises expectations for people. I would like to tamper that a little bit. There's a reason that the Panthers were willing to get rid of him that shortly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for that short a return, even though this is the last year in his contract. But I mean, if he has a big year for us, you're talking about an edge rusher hitting the open market at 26 years old. That's a compensatory pick. So
right.
The fact that they weren't willing to stick around with him for another year, you know, they obviously didn't think that highly of him.
Well, the Patriots have found themselves in this position many times before, and with those types of players where it's like a team, there's a guy who's hasn't lived up to the hype or whatever and comes to New England, 9 times out of 10 it works out pretty well for the player.
Well, regardless, it is 100% reward. There's very little risk.
Not much. Yeah, we still got a draft pick. I mean, 8 spots down, it's like, okay.
It's not that big. That's like
No.
You could probably trade a 7th round pick to make that move in the on draft day.
Yeah, probably.
I'd have to look at the draft value chart, but it wouldn't be much. And you're talking about a guy that's 6'5", 275 on the edge.
I mean, he did have 5 sacks last year.
Which would have been second on our
terrible.
Team, right?
Yeah, it's not terrible. I mean, it's decent. The other guy was the
concern for us.
Was the end.
Yeah.
And we got him and another one.
Yeah, we picked up a big old boy.
Lawrence Guy.
He's
from Ravens.
6'4", 300 pounds, a little bit more of an interior player than an edge guy, but will probably be on the field in passing downs.
He was formerly the Ravens?
Yeah, with the Ravens. They run a good amount of 3-4, so you're talking about a 3-4 defensive end in their scheme. We'll see how he gets used, but he'll be on the interior, probably in passing downs and a little bit on earlier downs. According to some of the advanced analytics, he ranks pretty favorably in like distance from him to the quarterback per snaps. It's like these crazy stats that they put up there.
Hmm.
Basically, the idea, he's a pocket pusher.
Yeah.
That's the idea.
Yeah, so we just bolstered our D-line.
Yeah. So now we got 4 defensive tackles, basically. We got 3 like edge defenders, pure edge defenders in Ninkovich, Trey Flowers, and Coney Ealy.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas last year we had 4. You know, we had Ninkovich, Flowers, Chris Long, and Sheard.
Mm-hmm.
So now our depth there isn't that bad. And then the best part about the way that Bill puts this team together is all of the linebackers can play in that spot too. So even if we only have 3 edge defenders, you're still talking about Kyle Van Noy, Shea McClellan, and Hightower, and they all might be their most effective selves on the edge.
Yeah, exactly. It's nice luxury.
So you feel pretty good about the front 7, I would think.
And even, well, you feel pretty good about the whole friggin' defense.
Yeah, the whole defense looks pretty damn good when you're, I mean, as long as Malcolm Butler is here.
Yeah.
We got all our safeties back. we currently have Stephon Gilmore, Malcolm Butler, Eric Rowe at the top there with Justin Coleman, Cyrus Jones, Jonathan Jones behind him. I feel great about that. 1-6.
Yeah.
Now,
unbelievable.
The big question is what happens with Malcolm Butler? And what leads us to wonder is the fact that the Patriots swung another big deal.
Yeah.
Amazing that this happened like a week and a half ago, and it already feels like it's lost some of his luster. Like, I don't feel excited about it. We traded for a number one receiver.
Yeah, and we got him for a 32nd overall pick.
And a little bit of a swap in the middle.
Yeah. Brandon Cooks is now a New England Patriot.
I mean, we haven't made a receiver trade like this since Randy Moss.
Yeah, and look what he did.
This is the closest thing to it.
So, this is a guy with 85 receptions in the last three years? He's been in the league for 3 years?
Yeah, this will be his fourth year.
So the last 3 years, he's had 85 receptions per year, over 1,200 yards and 8 TDs, I believe. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, he puts up some numbers, man. He's doing just fine. Yeah, he's averaging 80 catches a year the last 2 years, both over 1,100 yards. You can hand on the ball. You can get on the ball in space. He can go deep. I mean, versatility, another guy. He is small, but Brady likes small guys. Wes Welker, Edelman. He likes shorter receivers. Throw to him. Deion Branch.
Mm-hmm. So now you have him, you have Edelman, you have Malcolm Mitchell, you have Danny Amendola, if he even sticks around. You have, what's his name? Chris Hogan. It's like, wow. Gronk, yeah. James White, Deion Lewis. It's like,
Yeah, it's stupid. It's fucking stupid.
It really is.
Best team in the league throwing the ball deep last year. And we just got our best deep threat.
Arguably one of the best in the league.
He's definitely one of the best in the league.
Yeah. Crazy. I mean,
this guy ran a 4.33. He's got fucking burners.
Yeah.
And he's 23 years old.
I know.
He's only 23.
And we basically have him for 2 years, two more years.
We got him locked down for 2 years, 100%.
Yeah, locked down. It makes you, I mean, I know that what Sean Payton said makes sense, that he was, you know, he loves Brandon Cooks, and it was nothing personal or anything. It was just they needed to fill holes on defense, and he was a good piece of trade bait. But, I mean, for a 32nd overall pick, I think they could have got more.
If they could have got more, they would have.
Maybe. But still, I mean, that's kind of a steal.
Kind of.
Wasn't he? I mean, he was like a fourth. Wasn't he a mid-round, first-round pick?
Yeah, he was right around 20.
I mean,
20th. I mean, 20th overall.
He's done plenty to justify that pick.
Yeah, but how much longer were they going to have him around?
2 years?
Yeah. I don't know what the Saints are doing, man. I don't know how you have an all-time great quarterback and you just cannot figure out the salary cap. Every year they have salary cap issues.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
And they just haven't been able to field the defense in
And they have to get rid
years.
Of these awesome offensive players and they just keep getting rid of them.
Yeah, and the defense doesn't improve.
No, defense hasn't improved.
They keep paying guards a ton of money. They love to pay guards.
I don't know what it is. But so this offense just became even deadlier. I mean, you still have your top three options from last year, and basically Edelman, Gronkowski, Chris Hogan, if you want to put him, or whoever you want to put as the other third guy, whoever it was. And now you have Brandon Cooks.
Yeah.
Now you have Brandon Cooks. It's like you just added a top five or top 10 receiver to that crew.
Definitely not top five.
Good luck.
But he's a heck of a player, and it's going to really, I mean, what a youth movement. Infusion of youth for a guy that's going to come in and play with Edelman, who's 30 or 31. Amendola is going to be 31. It makes you wonder if Amendola is going to be back. The fact that he's still on the roster
is stunning.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I think
that they haven't made that cut.
Yeah, I mean, they still have $26 million in cap room, so unless they were planning on signing two max free agents tomorrow, they don't need the cap space immediately.
Yeah.
But I would like to see him come back. I think he's great depth. It's a numbers game at that point.
Right. And it really is.
When you only have, I mean, what do they have, like three draft picks before the fifth round, if that? So, I mean, not everybody makes the roster if they're drafted in the fifth round or later. So maybe there's not going to be that much competition from rookies trying to beat out a veteran with a high price tag like Amendola.
They should bundle all their picks and get a first rounder.
You think so? Yeah, they should.
One guy.
This shit.
Yeah. It's one guy. Yeah, so the offense is in pretty good shape. As you mentioned, we got that running back who...
Rex Burkhead.
I mean, he played in week 17 for the full game and had a really good game, but it was also week 17 where God knows who's playing or what they're playing for. The Bengals weren't playing for shit.
The Ravens weren't playing for shit either. That was the opponent.
We must really like this guy to give him $3
million. I know, right? And considering... I mean, I don't totally understand it. I watched him play. He looks good. He looks like a pretty underrated player. We didn't pay him like an underrated guy, though. We paid him good money. He's making more money than Deion Lewis and James White combined.
He's making more than Blount maybe has ever made for us.
Yeah. So
I mean, that's not saying a ton, but this is the biggest free agent running back signing since Fred Taylor.
Wow. Yeah, I'm a bit confused about it because... You wonder if it's insurance against Deion Lewis or James White or both of them leaving next year, but it's a one-year deal, so it's not.
Right.
And then what's wrong with Brandon Bolden? I don't think he's given us that much offensively, but from all accounts, he's tremendous on special teams and probably even better in the locker room.
Right.
And he wouldn't come at this price tag.
No, not even close. And then... I mean, from what I've understood about this guy, is he's more of a, you know, he fits more of the mold as a Deion Lewis or, you know, James White. He's a pass-catching running back. He can run up the middle. He's probably a little bigger than those guys, but it's not like you said, he's not a bruiser. It's not like he's going to be replacing Blount. Can you give him the ball 200 times a year, 300 times a year? Probably not. I mean, who knows? There's really what it comes down to. Nobody knows. The guy's never done it.
Yeah, I don't know what to expect, but I don't like the fact that it's a 1 year deal.
It's weird.
Yeah, it's like they're giving him a shot to have some sort of breakout, but then if he has a breakout, then you got to pay him even more afterwards.
Yeah.
So what? I mean, there should be an option. There should be something in there.
Where's the benefit?
Yeah, I don't really see it.
They're all in this year. I'm telling you, this move doesn't. I don't know how this move fits into that, but
how much insurance do you need?
Right,
on the
backfield,
what we could use is a big ass running back who goes by LG, or somebody to fill that role, and that might be a draft pick.
Well, they could just sign LG whenever they feel like it.
Yeah.
You
know? How has nobody else signed him? Do you think he's holding out and he's like, "Fuck it, I'll just wait. I'll wait. I know that phone call's coming. You know it's coming." It's
probably. I would assume so. I mean, I don't know.
Oh, it would definitely come. They would obviously offer him the veteran minimum.
Something.
With limited guaranteed money.
Like something.
Just to bring him into camp.
The guy did have, like, what, 15 touchdowns? How many touchdowns did he have? 18?
Yeah.
18. I was going to say that, and I was like, there's no way he had 18. He had 18 touchdowns. The guy doesn't even get a lick in free agency. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, nobody's even looking at him.
On offense, another, we talked that Bennett wasn't coming back, signed a contract with Green Bay. Sean called that right on the dot.
Boom.
3 years for $21 million, $20 million, depending on the source you look at. Surprising.
Bit low.
Very surprising there. That's a guy who we both figured for seven would be back easily.
Yeah. The fact that we traded for Dwayne Allen before free agency opened, and I can't remember at which point in the legal tampering period it happened.
I think it was a day or two before free agency started.
Yeah, so it was probably smack dab in the middle of the tampering period.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Maybe they didn't have that good communication with Marty. I'm not sure.
He said he was leaving before that.
Did he really?
Mm. Oh. He said his goodbye.
Oh, well, there you go. Then they had to move on. I would have thought somebody would give him more money than that. Maybe somebody did. But
I think he really wanted to play in Green Bay.
Fuck yeah, dude. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Green Bay sucks as a city. I mean, it's not a city. It's like a town.
Yeah, but you're only there for 6 months, and you're with the team the whole time.
I guess so. But still, we're paying Dwayne Allen, what, $4.5-5 million a year, something like that? What is it?
$5.5 million.
So for $1.5 million more, I figured they would have taken Marty.
Well, it sounds like he tied their hands if he said goodbye early.
For what, $7 million? They were like, no.
Well, he didn't know that at the time. They didn't know that either.
I don't know.
And
I don't know.
And who's to say that there wasn't a team out there that offered him 8 or 8.5, and then he came back to the Patriots, and they were like, "Dude, we got to go in a different direction." They go in a different direction. Then Marty's like, "Fuck, I don't want to take this $8.5 million contract to go play in bumfuck wherever in L.A. for the Rams or the Chargers or some shit.
Yeah.
And so then he's like, well, let's find a better destination with an actual quarterback.
Yeah, probably.
You don't know how it all played out, but the fact that, I mean, if you could give me the option to have Dwayne Allen for 5.5 or Marty for 7, I'll take Marty any fucking day.
Right. Absolutely.
But it just might not have played out that easily. Ugh, he's going to be great in Green Bay, though. They haven't had a tight end there who's real good for a while. I mean, since JerMichael Finley almost broke his neck or whatever happened with him.
I know he should have a really good season there.
Jared
Cook maybe they just wanted to move on from him. I mean, that could have been it. I mean, they could have been like, yeah, we're not re-signing you.
He's also in his 30s. I mean,
yeah.
They don't like to make long-term deals with guys in their 30s that often.
They don't like making long-term deals with anybody.
No.
I mean, everything you see, it's like everyone's like, it's a 5-year deal, but it's really a 2-year deal with an option. And they don't always take the option. I mean, you look at free agency in general this year, there really wasn't any really big free agency signings. I mean, Stephon Gilmore to the Patriots, that was really the biggest.
Calais Campbell got a ton of money.
Did he? Yeah, like Jacksonville.
15 a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
But that was there anybody else?
I don't think so.
I mean, at least for players moving, I mean, Chandler Jones got paid, but he got re-signed, so.
A.J. Boye going to Jacksonville, he got 14. No, he got 13.5 a year.
Wow. Is he that good?
He was really good last year.
Yeah.
But the fact that he was never on anyone's radar before that is concerning.
Yeah, exactly.
Contract year, what up?
Yeah. And then the last big piece, real big piece of news at least, is the Malcolm Butler situation.
I know. Ugh.
What is going to happen with the Malcolm Butler situation?
So Butler is a restricted free agent. He took a visit with the Saints. After there was all kinds of speculation that we would trade Malcolm Butler for Brandon Cooks. Butler never signed his restricted free agent tender, which means he's a restricted free agent. He's not under contract with any team, so you can't trade a guy who's not under contract.
Right.
So Brandon Cooks had a roster bonus that was coming like 2 days after we traded for him. So the Saints were like, we got to get rid of this guy before we have to pay him a bunch of change, and we're not expecting him to be on the team. So they made the deal with the Pats to move him for the draft picks. And now Malcolm Butler has taken a meeting with the Saints, and we're starting to wonder, oh, are they trying to rekindle that initial trade talk and still send Butler to New Orleans?
Yes. So they have the basis of a deal, supposedly, how much you want to believe of that. I mean, so what it comes down to now, if he signs to the offer sheet and New Orleans makes a deal with him, we either can match or they have to give us their first round pick. They can't give us our 32nd pick overall back. We would have to make a deal first for that to happen. We'd have to make some kind of trade. And honestly, I don't know what kind of trade would make sense.
If they give us exactly what we gave them for Brandon Cooks.
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
You don't think they would do that?
No, why wouldn't that happen before?
Because Malcolm Butler wasn't under contract.
Right, but I'm sure that they could have streamlined something and been like, hey, you want to get paid? You want to go to New Orleans? We're going to send you there. Come sign the fucking thing. And he should probably would have been like, sure, or like a little blindside. But the fact that I think it would be ridiculous if they sent us the 32nd pick back. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me.
Okay.
I mean, I get the time that it was a timing thing a little bit, but also like, I mean, the reports I read is that if Belichick wants their 11th pick or 12th pick, whatever it is, he wants their first rounder. He doesn't want ours back. And if I was a businessman doing the trade too, I'd say, fuck my pick. I don't want that back either. Mm-hmm. You know?
You're going to have to
sweeten the deal.
A complicating factor is you're not allowed to discuss trade options for a player that's not under contract.
Right.
So this all has to be very hush-hush if it happens at all. And considering the stink eye that the league always gives the Patriots, they got to tread extra lightly about any tampering issues, because we know they'll take a first-round pick for anything, basically.
From us, right. Yeah.
Which would be the whole point of doing the trade anyway. So the position that the Pats are in right now is a good one, because we already have what we wanted. We got Brandon Cooks. And so the options are Butler could sign an offer sheet with New Orleans, and unless it was extremely reasonably priced. I think we take the 11th overall pick for him. We'd let him go. We'll take 11th overall because that's the way it works. If you sign an offer sheet for a restricted free agent, you give up your own pick. So the Saints would give up their pick. They wouldn't give us our pick back.
Yep.
The other option is Butler signs with us, and then he signs his restricted free agent tender with us, and then they work out a trade afterwards. But that would have to include like the long-term contract that he would have negotiated previously with the Saints and do a little wink-wink deal.
Right.
So we would still be in that position where we have the player and they want the player, so we can drive up that price.
Yeah.
And whether that's going to mean the 32nd overall pick and a third rounder, or, you know, some sort of swap of mid-round picks, I don't know. But we're in a negotiating position of strength, and I think Belichick would want to drive the price up from just the 32nd.
Yeah, exactly. I don't it's a lot of hoops to jump through to do it. Like you said, he's got to sign the tender, then we have him, then he has to be, you know, it's a lot of things to go through, and who knows? We might extend him. Who knows? I mean,
it could happen.
It could happen. They could sign him to a deal or offer him a deal that we're like, sure, we'll take that. That's easy. I mean, it's a win-win situation for the Patriots at this point. I'd love to keep Malcolm. Him and Stephon Gilmore would be a hell of a cornerback tandem. I just don't. I just don't see it. I don't see the Saints really making out too well in this situation.
Yeah, they're going to have to overpay.
They're going to have to overpay, or they're not going to get what they want.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a tough situation for them. Why did they choose, dude? Just pay the extra money for the guy in the open market. Apparently, they couldn't. Or they didn't like A.J. Boye or Stephon Gilmore enough to give them that much money. I don't know.
Maybe they couldn't afford it. You said they have cap problems.
They
how can they afford to pay? I don't know how they can afford to pay Malcolm. And he's probably asking for 10. If he's asking for 10, he's probably asking for 10 or more a year. If he's asking for anything less, we're going to sign him.
Yeah. I have it.
Or match it.
I just have a bad feeling that we're going to trade him this year. And I don't know why. Well, I mean, so many of the signs have pointed to it.
So you don't know why they've decided to trade him.
I don't know why, yeah.
I don't really know why either. He's done everything right, seemingly.
Yeah, I don't know why they would think that Stephon Gilmore is going to be a better player than Butler has. Better the last 2 years.
You just think of pairing those two people up. Those are two chess pieces. Oh, you have a longer receiver? You put Gilmore on him. You have a short, fast receiver? You put fucking Butler on him. They have both? Perfect. You can handle both.
Yeah, that's the one thing that gives me more confidence that he would come back is that is having two shutdown corners would be an ultimate weapon.
I mean, think it like when we always play someone like the Steelers that now that Martavius Bryant's coming back, I mean, what better cornerback tandem can you think of maybe outside of Denver that would pair up with Martavius Bryant and Antonio Brown better than those two?
Yeah, exactly. This would be our version of what they got out west there.
Yeah. Can't
and
touch it.
It's obviously been pretty fucking successful for them.
Yeah. Just put in anyone on the D-line.
Miller at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
That'd be nice. I know. I want him desperately to come back. And the fact that we don't have any draft picks before 72 makes you think Bill wants to get involved. Now, he doesn't always. Look back at 2013, right? Mm-hmm. The Jamie Collins draft. Jamie was our first selection, and he was in the 50s. So it's not like Bill has some aversion to sitting out the first round. He does it all the time.
Does it all the time.
Yeah.
Well, there's also the little trade bit of Jimmy G, too.
See, that's the other thing. I wonder what happens there, because I don't know why they would trade both of those guys to try to... I mean, they'd be selling... Not only would they be selling out in free agency this year, they'd be selling out into the draft if they traded both of those guys and tried to stockpile first and second rounders.
Yeah. I think they're going to wait. I honestly think... I think Malcolm's going to stay, and I think they trade Jimmy G on the day of the draft.
Could happen. A lot of people are saying with the way that this roster seems like it's nearly unbeatable, I mean, at least on paper, versus the other teams that are out there in the league right now, it makes you, some people are making the argument that keeping Jimmy G as insurance on Brady for this year is worth it. Because
maybe
the only thing that could derail, I mean, we just won a Super Bowl without our second best player, Gronk. It already happened. So now he's coming back. the only thing that could derail it is losing our best player. And well, so having a plan B maybe already on the roster and Jimmy G might be worth losing that first round pick.
Maybe. I don't know. I think someone like it's an argument. I can see that someone like Cleveland coming through with a big deal and you're like, yeah, I'm going to take it. And you just draft a freaking quarterback or something. Or you pick someone up in the free agent. I mean, Jimmy G got hurt.
If it was that easy, how many franchises would have just drafted a quarterback that worked out?
Jimmy G got hurt in the second game.
I know.
Against the Dolphins.
Yeah. That's the thing about backup quarterbacks is if they play well, then you think that they're a godsend.
Right. I mean, the guy, like I said, the guy had one of the best offenses in the league he was playing with. Now, he would have one of the best offenses in the league he's playing with this year, but who's to say he's not going to get hurt?
You're right.
Nobody.
You're right.
And he got hurt last year pretty easily.
He's clearly not as pliable as Tom Brady.
He got sacked, like, fuck. He got sacked once, and he got hurt.
Yeah.
I don't think that's an understatement.
It would definitely be a concern, yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, he's good, but I mean, everyone's got a price, so.
There's a lot of factors going into everything. I think that keeping Malcolm, I mean, think about it. If Malcolm leaves on the open market next year, we're not going to have an overload of cap space next year. We're not going to be crushing the free agent market next year. So you're talking about him leaving and us not getting many picks. So for the compensatory pick formula, that's a third round pick, most likely, for a shutdown corner on the open market. Yeah. So the difference between a first rounder this year and a third rounder next year, I guess the third rounder would be in 2 years. Oh, shit. I don't know. I think it'd be an unbelievable weapon for our defense to have those two cornerbacks to go along with all the other talent out there.
I think so too.
It's worth eating that value.
Yeah, for a sure thing. I mean, that's the other thing. A draft, first round draft pick, any draft pick, it's never a sure thing. You don't know what's going to happen. Malcolm Butler has been playing great football for 3 years, two years.
Yeah, 2 years in one game.
So,
yeah, exactly. There's also, I'm biased, you're biased. That guy gave me one of the most joyful moments of my life.
Yeah.
You know? Okay, so that pretty much covers where the Pats are right now. They got, I did a little count for myself. There are like 50 guys that I consider basically roster locks at this point. Obviously, those things change, and you'll lose a guy here and there in training camp when we always have those surprise cuts. But this team is basically fully formed. So there's not that much roster movement to look forward to now. But you still hear some lingering questions. Have you heard this Darrell Revis talk?
I'm not opposed to it.
People are talking about it.
I mean, it depends on what they have to pay him. I wouldn't be stunned. I wouldn't be surprised at all. I almost thought it was going to happen when I heard the Jets cut him. Now the felony thing has been dropped.
Yeah, bring him back for like $2 million a year. That they might trade Malcolm if that happens.
Well, I was thinking that would be insurance. Yeah. If Malcolm's gone, then it's a possibility. If Malcolm's here, not so realistic. But hey, I mean, I'd Darrell Revis is your second cornerback, your number two.
Yeah.
It's not a bad look.
I understand the low risk. You know, it wouldn't be that much money. It'd be a 1 year deal. You could always cut him. I understand that. I just wonder if bringing in that acclaimed veteran to do some smaller role, if he would be okay with it, if everyone would get along with it, if his ego could take that, if he would even want to. I mean, he's getting paid $6 million this year from the Jets already.
Yeah. Well, he was talking about he would have to go to, he's willing to move to safety. So anyone who says that they're willing to change positions to still play.
Yeah, he's not.
I think they could keep it in check. He's not a safety.
He's not a safety. He's a man coverage guy.
Yeah. I mean, that's what he is.
He's a cornerback. So it's an interesting thing to play with. Who knows? In other Jets news, they brought in Josh McCown.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, that's going to solve the quarterback situation, as he has solved so many before in his career.
Isn't he like 38? Well, I mean, how old is that fucking guy?
He seems to be in really good shape, but he gets hurt every single time.
He gets crushed.
Yeah, it's so funny because he's a decent quarterback, and he has been in like his last three stops.
Yeah, he hasn't been too bad.
But he can't stay on the field.
He's better than Jay Cutler.
Yeah. Is Jay Cutler still on the market?
I think so. I don't know, though.
Go to Houston. Geno Smith went to the Giants.
Yeah.
There you go. Gets to play in the same stadium that's been haunting mm-hmm. him the last 4 years. Whatever. The other piece of Patriots news, Tom Brady's jerseys.
Yeah, and then JPP got re-signed by the Giants for a pretty big deal.
Oh, what'd he get? JPP. How did he sign?
JPP?
Did he sign with his left hand?
Yeah. I don't know. I think he got like 40 guaranteed or something.
Whoa, good for him. That 1 year.
Maybe, yeah, it was big. It was a pretty big contract.
Ooh, good for him. Amazing for a guy that doesn't put up sacks anymore to get that
money. Crazy.
He's a good player, though. Yeah, so Brady's jerseys were recovered. I didn't know the one from 2 years ago was also missing.
Apparently. And then also Von Miller's helmet or something.
Yeah.
It's like, how'd they let that happen?
I don't know. Repeatedly. Yeah. And then the thing, I understand people's sentiment about, like, why are the police involved in looking for a jersey? I totally get that. But the fact that the thing is worth $500,000...
has something to do with it.
That has everything to do with it. If I lost my jersey, nobody would give a shit. But if I lost a $500,000 diamond, that also doesn't do anything, cops would care.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, if somebody stole that shit, they would care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it is stupid that it's all over the news, but it's a worth, you know, piece of sports memorabilia, worth a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People need decorations and stories to tell because their lives are somewhat boring. Oh, geez, that just got sour. Yeah, this is the thing. We're entering the quietest part of the league year. We're gonna have the draft, which is a nice blip, but
that's like a month away.
I know, but between now and training camp starting, it's really just the draft.
Not much,
and then that's it. So these podcasts are gonna become more infrequent, maybe every other week, maybe every 3 weeks, but we'll try to get on here and shoot the shit about whatever the latest and greatest in Patriots news is.
If anything happens.
I know, right? there's probably, with the way everything's been going so far, there's going to be more fireworks probably.
There might be a little more.
Yeah.
The Malcolm Butler, the Jimmy G, those things are going to, something's going to happen.
Those are
at least big
deals.
Yeah.
So thank you guys for tuning in. We will be back shortly, hopefully to discuss Malcolm Butler's contract extension.
Yeah.
That'd be lovely. But as always, we really appreciate you guys listening in, and we'll be back at some point in the future.
Thank you.
All right. See y'all.
Adios.